I remember walking out of that public hearing where the verdict came down and just, you know, my heart has sunk and thinking about all the investment that was made and time and money and having to call the owners and tell them about the result. It was tough.
Welcome to Re-Energize.
This is a podcast about renewable energy.
Yeah, we know what you're thinking. Another duo of clean tech bros wonking out on energy policy.
Think again. This is about your energy.
How do you find peace on the emotional roller coaster of renewable development? How has this work transformed you?
We ask these questions together with people who have lived it.
Plug in.
It's time to re-energize.
Yo, Jay, good to see you again, man.
Hey, Joel. Yeah, great to see you. Always a pleasure. You know, one of the things I love about, you know, doing this podcast, of course, is the fact that we get to talk to so many interesting people in the industry and hear their stories. You know, just I think we've only done one so far, but we've got a couple lined up. And, you know, I'm excited about that. And I think in the first interview that we did, it just so resonated with me. Like the story that I was hearing was like a story that I had experienced myself in a lot of ways. And so to, you know, just feel that we had, you know, hit on something that I think a lot of people are going to relate to. I'm pretty excited about it.
Right on. It's kind of fascinating that we, these colleagues, these people, these deal partners at other companies, you get close, right? You know, you pull off these feats together and you do get close, and yet we tend to be moving so fast, right? We just get focused on the project, you know, and the outcome and the strategy and the tactics of how to get there. And that's great and it's necessary. But it is kind of fascinating that we don't create these, also in parallel, these big pockets for the kind of stuff we're talking about in this podcast. We're just like, how are you doing? How are you handling this, you know, as you're going through? What are you learning from this? How are you feeling through all this? And so I'm excited that we get to talk to people, some of who we didn't really know well, like, but then also some people who, you know, I do know well. And I'm like, I was there for that. And I'm learning, you know, what it actually felt like for you. So that's pretty cool. So Jay, I'm really looking forward to diving into a story that I know is meaningful to you. And I'd love to hear from you right out of the gates, just kind of the why. Like, what was this experience about and why does it matter to you?
Well, I was working on a very large project. And at this point, I had been working in this industry for community energy for about 10 years, even a little bit more. So I had kind of been taking on more and more responsibility. And at this point I was, you know, what I would call the executive sponsor of this project that was over 100 megawatts. You were talking kind of like 1,000-acre solar farm, right? And so it was big, and it was the first time that I was taking on anything of that scale at that management level, you know, at that level of responsibility. So I really had to find my own way. And, you know, there were some times when I had to really take a stand against what our management and our owners wanted to see happen with this project. So it was a tough project and it dragged on. And there were some points where I had to take a stand and do what I thought was right, which was not a comfortable place to be, you know, at that point in my career. So that's what this one's about.
Nice. Well, Jay, I can't wait to dig into that and hear more about standing up for what you believed in and that decision. Before we dive into those details though, yeah, where were you at this point in time in your life?
Yeah, so I was just turned 40. I've got 3 kids. They're between the ages of 12 and 4. My wife had been home with the kids really ever since the first one was born. So, you know, she was doing a lot of work. I was doing a lot of work, but I was the only one who was getting paid for it. So, you know, I felt like I was carrying a lot of responsibility as the sole breadwinner. And, you know, I had had some success at Community Energy and was feeling pretty good about, you know, the growth and what I was learning. And what it led to was more and more responsibility coming my way. So, you know, at this point, I'm in charge of really all of the utility scale development in the East. And I didn't really have that much development experience coming into it. So, you know, I was really learning as I went. It was a great experience, but it was often I felt like I was, you know, swimming against the tide. It was definitely a challenge.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. So you've got this big project. You're leading it, you know, sole breadwinner for the family. And it's interesting. I'm already hearing some pressure, you know, strong drive to succeed. But tell me, like, what happened with this project?
Well, so, you know, I had found a buyer for the power, right? So we were going to sign a power purchase agreement. We had a party who was ready to buy the project, and we had a great interconnection. Like, everything was set up. All we needed was the permit, and we were going to sell this project and, you know, bring in a really good chunk of revenue for Community Energy. It was probably going to be enough to cover our budget for like 2 years. And, you know, it wasn't just about the money, of course, because we were all about the mission. And so being able to, you know, see that, hey, we've got a big project that we can do that's going to make a difference too, you know, felt really good. So we sent our lead developer and our land agent to the county to meet with the folks in the board of supervisors, you know, seven people who were going to decide the fate of this project because it needed to be rezoned from agricultural if we were going to build the project. Ultimately, it was total discretionary permit. And the person whose district we were in, who was really going to be the most influential person in this whole process, said right out of the gate, over my dead body, you know? Yeah. So, you know, we knew we were up for a challenge.
Yeah,
exactly. We knew we were up for a challenge. We'd been through challenges before. We weren't about to back down at that point, you know, but she proved to be a very formidable opponent. And we ultimately had to slow down the permitting process. There was a lot of other stuff going on locally that was controversial. We spent a lot of time trying to build support, build relationships with the supervisors, and put ourselves in a position to succeed. But it really dragged on and got very contentious. And I spent a lot of time, you know, visiting with the people who were going to be influential, from our landowners to the board of supervisors. We had a very experienced lead developer on the ground who was talking to folks, you know, every day. And I was talking to him every day and really getting a feel for what was going on. And, you know, I was starting to get a lot of pressure from our owners who kind of saw this opportunity, right, to monetize a project, set up the company for success, and they wanted it to move faster. And, you know, there was some question as to whether or not our developer on the ground was taking the right approach. And, you know, so I remember these phone calls that I would have, and it was just like, we got to move this faster. Maybe we should bring in somebody else on the ground to solve it. You know, it's not happening. And that was where I had to push back. And it was uncomfortable to do that. But I knew in my gut and my head, from everything I'd seen with my own eyes, everything I'd heard, that we were doing the best that we could. We had to listen to the advice of our champion on the board of supervisors, who said, this is not the time. You guys just need to wait and, you know, keep building your support, keep honing in on a project that we can approve, but don't bring it up for a vote right now or you're going to lose. So, so we listened. Honestly, ultimately we did lose. And I think, you know, having taken that stand and then not being successful, you know, made it that much tougher when we did lose. And I remember, you know, walking out of that meeting, you know, the public hearing where the verdict came down, and just, you know, my heart has sunk, and, you know, thinking about all the investment that was made and time and money, and having to call the owners and tell them about the result. It was tough. You know, went back to the hotel. I didn't even try to sleep. I just watched TV all night long because I knew that, like, if I closed my eyes and, you know, it was just going to be spin, spin, spin. And it was a tough night.
Thinking, yeah, nothing, nothing like SpongeBob SquarePants to just
that's right.
not confront yet. It's too big right now. No, but but seriously, Jay, how, like, I want to go back to the specific decision you faced, which was, hey, to move fast, to push the project for a vote, it sounds like, with the supervisors, or to spend more time shaping up the project, more time listening, more time developing. And what about that? What, like, just looking for you to dive a little bit deeper, like, what did that feel like?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I'd been at Community Energy 10 years. I'd been able to take on more responsibility. You know, at this point I was leading, you know, really half of our whole business almost. And I got there really by staying in close alignment, you know, with our owners, right? I mean, I think people can relate to that. You know, you kind of do what your management wants you to do most of the time, right? But in this case, because I was so deeply involved on a day-to-day basis and they weren't, you know, I just knew that it didn't make sense to bring in a new person. We'd been building strong relationships there. Our developer had been building really strong relationships. To, you know, bring in a new face was going to be a setback, right? And we knew, because we were being told by the people who mattered, you know, who were going to make the decision, that this wasn't the time. You got to listen to that stuff. And so, you know, it was uncomfortable to chart my own course here. I felt like I was out on a limb, but ultimately, you know, even as I look back and know that we didn't succeed, I still know that we did the best that we could. We left no stone unturned. And, you know, you can't control everything.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that really resonates, Jay. I'm sure a lot of folks out there can think about a time when they face that. It sounds like you, like, what do you think it would have felt like it had you, it sounds like in your gut, you just knew this was the right course of action, and you weren't new to the business, right? So you had that confidence, which is cool, to take that step, but it wasn't totally comfortable, right? Cause it was out of sync with upper management. What do you think it would have felt like had you just aligned with upper management, you know, made that maybe in the short run, at least, maybe more comfortable or whatever, you know, choice.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's an interesting question because, you know, I could have said, all right, well, the owners want us to do this, so this is what we're going to do. And I think we probably still would have failed. I don't think there was any way we were going to win this permit, right? So then I'm looking at myself after the fact and I'm saying, man, I knew what the right approach was. And I chose not to take it because I wanted to basically do what the owners wanted me to do, even though I thought it was not the right thing to do. And we've lost. I think that would feel even worse than overall saying, okay, well, we lost, but I feel like we did everything the best that we could.
Yeah. 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 Maybe it's not even about the winning and losing. It's just about, like, did you, someone said to me once, like, yeah, like, you know, you're happiest or you find the most meaning when your outside actions align with your inside. And it's like, you know, this is a case where you did that, right? Like, your outside actions align with the inside. If you didn't do that, I could just imagine, I don't know. I can certainly relate to times in my life where I've made the opposite choice that you did here. And I was guarding against something, but actually I was hurting myself by, like, oh, now I feel like I'm not, like, I don't feel like I'm in my body, really. I'm avoiding something here that's important. And so I think it's really cool that you made this choice. And there's that song, I don't know if you heard this song, My Way. It's like an older song, but it's a mistakes. I've made a few, you know, but then the guy
Frank
goes,
Sinatra, right? Probably made
Was it Sinatra? Yeah.
I think so.
I did it my way.
Yes.
I don't know. I didn't hear that until recently, but I don't know. That just came to mind.
And, you know, I think there's a little bit of a nuanced distinction, though, between saying, well, I did it my way.
Yeah, you were. That's right.
Did it the way that I and others who were involved, right? It wasn't just me, right? I was hearing from folks on the ground saying, hey, this is the right thing to do. We had a very well-connected local attorney who'd been through this stuff, and he was advising us. And
totally.
Saying, you guys, you gotta slow down. You gotta understand how this place works. You can't just make it work the way you want it to.
You weren't going rogue. I'm sure you communicated to Upper Management what you were doing. They probably said things like, wow, we don't love it or agree, but you're the lead, you know, and like, you know, we trust you. And, you know, it wasn't like, yeah, you were doing all those things, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's to me the key takeaway, right? Is, you know, I walked away from that experience kind of having really lost a big one. It was probably one of the biggest, quote, failures of my career, even to this day. And the world kept spinning. We had other projects to work on, and we had great success after that, you know? So, you know, walking away from that experience, I'm realizing the world keeps turning. You win some, you lose some. And what really ends up mattering is how did you play the game? And feeling like we played the game the best we could, you know, we left it all on the field, whatever the analogy is. You know, I think that became the real lesson. You know, sometimes there's not a silver bullet or a really clear answer. And I think in this situation where I was having to take a stand, you know, I was doing it with a lot of good rationale. You know, I was able to explain why I thought this was the best course. And I'm sure that, you know, after the phone calls hung up, and then there might have been some grumbling, you know, from people saying, well, I don't think this is the right approach. And, you know, but ultimately I had good arguments, and I think people saw that, you know, we played the game the right way, and they respected the outcome, even though it wasn't what we wanted.
Yeah. You did it with class, with the right style. I love that.
Yeah, I think so.
So Jay, you just hit kind of what you took away from it, which I love. What would you hope that others take away from this experience you had?
Yeah, I think it's very much the same. You know, it's like, here's what I took away from it is what I hope others will be able to take away from it and kind of learn from my experience. You know, when you're going through that tough loss for the first time, you know, you kind of look back and say, hey, other people have been through this, and there's another opportunity around the corner.
Love it, man. Thank you for joining us on Re-Energize.
If you like what you hear, if you feel your energy rising, please pass this on to your friends.
And hey, you might have a story to share. If that's the case, you can reach out to us using our email address found in our show notes.